We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Very happy to be with you here on the Ides of April, the 15th of April. It's Wednesday, and we're coming to you live from the Central Texas headquarters of InfoWars. We'll be joined by Dinesh D'Souza a little bit later in the show, and we just have a ton of news to get to and a ton of videos to show you. Please do share those links. We really appreciate it when you help us get the word out there. We have some pretty incredible updates out of Iran, and I'm a little bit confused as to what exactly we're doing at this point. Last I heard, we had shut the strait. Just before that, we were desperate to get the strait open. Now we've shut the strait, unless you ask Trump, who says the strait is open. It's very confusing. I think it's meant to be. I think it's because keeping the strait closed is actually in service of the wider globalist plans of world domination, or to create scarcity, to enact rationing, to create the mark of the beast system, as they, in a hyperactive fashion, in a frantic and desperate fashion, implement digital ID control systems throughout the world as well. It's just kind of hard to keep your finger on the pulse and figure out where exactly we are in this crazy cycle of the Iran war, where it seems like we're desperately trying to figure out what it is we're doing there and why it is we're waging this conflict. Let's go to clip 31 here. This is Trump being asked about Europe's help or non-assistance in opening the Strait of Hormuz. Again, as of yesterday, I was fairly certain that Trump had shut the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, there were still ships passing through. Chinese ships from Iranian ports were getting through, so it wasn't really closed. But he did say it was closed. But they did say we were closing the Strait of Hormuz. But here's Donald Trump contradicting that. Let's watch.
Did you see Europe is now drafting a program and plan to open up the Hormuz Strait without the United States?
That's so sad. We're doing it now. By the way, it's opening. The ships are coming back and forth. Oh, without the United States. It just shows you, how can you have a country, how can you have a group of countries with that attitude? Look at Greenland. We should have Greenland to protect the world against Russia and China. The mention of it, all of a sudden they get, this country should not be paying trillions of dollars to NATO.
I'm a little confused. I don't know. I'm just a little bit confused about all of it. Strait of Hormuz was open. We go to war. Iran shuts it. We say Europe needs to help us get this open. They say no, thank you. We say then we're going to open it. You have to open it or we're going to destroy your whole country. Iran says, no, thank you. We say, never mind then. We're shutting it. But now it's open. But actually, it's open. I mean, I guess you can take Pete Hegseth's statement from back at the beginning of the war, and it's sort of just it's the permanent truth. The strait is open, except for the missiles. That'll destroy your boat if you try to go through. But other than that, it's totally open. And we want it to be, but we did close it. But it's totally open. But also, I need Greenland. But also, actually, I need Greenland right now. Again, you know, it's just, we're used to Trump being a little bit off the cuff. We're used to him sort of speaking around certain issues. But it was always, like, understandable what he was saying. As I try to wrap my mind around what we just heard, it just sounds like he wants to go to war with Europe. It sounds like he's like, they don't want to help us open the strait. They'll be next. They'll be next on the list. That's kind of what it sounds like to me, because it's Europe isn't helping you open the strait, even though he just closed the strait. And he's like, look, the strait is open. And also I need Greenland. Also, I deserve and I need Greenland. It's like, that's not what we're talking about, sir. But apparently these things are related in his mind. I can't quite make the connection, except that we do seem to be driving away from NATO, which is a little odd because we have been using NATO as a vessel to destroy Russia for a while. Things have gone off the rails. I think just in a word, things, as it were, have gone off the rails. Saudi Arabia pressures Trump to scale back war in Iran, war on Iran. Mohammed bin Salman wants U.S. president to lift quarantine of Iranian ports, say diplomats. Saudi Arabia is pressing the United States to scale back its war in the Middle East, fearing Iran could retaliate by blockading the Red Sea and paralyzing the kingdom's economy. And they essentially already have. I mean, the Houthis have said that they're getting into the conflict, and this has scared America enough that we've sent the USS H.W. Bush off. It's operating off southern Africa as Iranian blockade begins. In other words, it's going around the Horn of Africa because we are too scared to go through the Houthi overlook section of the ocean. U.S. sends thousands more troops to the Middle East as Trump seeks to squeeze Iran. The U.S. is sending thousands of more troops to the Middle East in the coming days as the Trump administration attempts to pressure Iran into a deal that could end the weeks-long conflict while still considering the possibility of additional strikes or ground operations if a fragile ceasefire does not hold, U.S. officials said. The forces moving into the region include about 6,000 troops aboard the aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush, currently circumnavigating the continent of Africa, and several warships escorting it, said current and former officials who, like some others, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. About 4,200 others with the Boxer Amphibious Ready Group and its embarked Marine Corps Task Force, the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, are expected to arrive near the end of the month. The infusion of firepower seems likely to coalesce with warships already in the Middle East, just as the two-week ceasefire is set to expire April 22nd. And that certainly seems to be the plan. Let the ceasefire expire and get right back into it, I guess. Iran threatens to disrupt shipping in the Red Sea unless the U.S. Lifts its Hormuz blockade. So the IRGC announced Wednesday that Tehran would not allow the import or export of goods through the Persian Gulf, the nearby Gulf of Oman, and the Red Sea unless the United States lift the blockade imposed earlier this week around the Strait of Hormuz. Ali Abdullahi, the commander of Iran's emergency headquarters, says the measures would be firm and decisive steps to protect Iran's national interests and sovereignty. So now we're talking about cutting off not one, but two incredibly important waterways, shifting goods through the, you know, across the entire planet. Iran used Chinese spy satellite to target U.S. bases, FT reports. Iran secretly acquired a Chinese spy satellite, giving the Islamic Republic new capability to target U.S. military bases across the Middle East during the recent war, the Financial Times reported on Wednesday. The TEE-01B satellite, built and launched by Chinese company Earth Eye Company, was acquired by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Aerospace Force in late 2024 after it was launched into space from China, the report said, citing leaked Iranian military documents. The Iranian military commanders directed the satellite to monitor major U.S. military sites, the newspaper said, citing time-stamped coordinated list, satellite imagery, and orbital analysis. The images were taken in March before and after drone and missile strikes in those locations, FT said. The White House, CIA, Pentagon, and China's Foreign Affairs Ministry and Defense Ministry did not immediately respond to requests from comment. As part of the deal, the IRGC received access to commercial ground stations operated by Imposat, a Beijing-based provider of satellite controls and data services, provider with a network extending across Asia, Latin America, and other regions, according to the report. So in other words, China is being the America to Iran's Ukraine. They are providing the intelligence and possibly the weapon systems that Iran is using to fight America, but they're not fighting us. Remember, this was the precedent we set with Ukraine and Russia. We're not fighting Russia. We're just providing everything Ukraine needs to fight Russia and fighting them through Ukraine. Now China is fighting America through Iran. So again, for everybody that likes to claim retroactively, as if this was the purpose of the attack on Iran in the first place, that China is suffering because of this, people that claim that China is really the ultimate one paying the price for this military activity, why are they contributing to it then? Then why is China helping Iran to extend the conflict? If it was in their interest to end it, then they would certainly have plenty of leverage and, you know, ability to pressure Iran to end it, but they're not. They're helping it. because it's not hurting them, it's hurting us. And our friends like this. Australia's petrol stations run dry as energy crisis turns existential. Soaring prices and supply fears leave farmers weighing up whether they can afford to plant crops. So that's happening. Again, it's just like, where are the alarm bells? Where are the sirens? Where is the overwhelming public concern about what's happening here? Do I need to read that last sentence again? Soaring prices and supply fears leave farmers weighing up whether they can afford to plant crops. Tell you what, I'm no farmer, but as I understand it, you have to plant crops to have food. Unless I'm crazy, I'm pretty sure if you don't plant the crops, there will be nothing to harvest. And then you'll starve to death. So I think you have to figure out how to afford to plant the food. Only if the fuel supplies have been cut off by America's ill-advised war with Iran, maybe this was the point the entire time. Maybe this is why the Strait of Hormuz is closed and why it will remain closed. Maybe, just maybe, because it's part of a much larger plan to cause starvation and or limit, you know, rationing to control people. And of course, the really depressing thing, the really upsetting thing to know about how this would go if the strait continues to be shut down and farmers continue to not be able to afford oil or get their hands on fertilizer, they need to grow food, and this starvation really starts to come and we really have to start rationing food like World War II, like we're all getting tickets for a block of cheese a month or whatever it is. What are the odds you think that Western governments will prioritize foreigners before their own people? How quickly do you think it would be before access to food was seen as some sort of reparations against white people? They're like, hey, you had your chance. You know, you guys built railroads in Bengali, so now you have to starve. 200 years ago, you went out of your way to bring, you know, mail delivery to the Congo. So now, as punishment, you have to starve while all of your food is given to hostile foreigners who will steal it if we don't just give it to them. I have the feeling that's where we're going, because in any normal, sensible, just basically sane society, in the case of rationing, you would prioritize your people over anybody else. You would say, look, we're America. We have to feed Americans. You're Mexican. Go back to Mexico. They're their responsibility, right? Go back to Guatemala. Guatemala can try to feed you. We are not responsible for feeding the entire world. What are the odds you think that should rationing come about, it'll actually be the locals and the natives of Europe and America who receive the food? I just feel like we're forging a weapon for our enemies to exterminate us. That's how it feels, at least. Meanwhile, Europe is accelerating NATO fallback plan in case Trump pulls out. A fallback plan to ensure Europe can defend itself using NATO's existing military structures if the U.S. falls apart is gaining traction after getting buy-in from Germany, a long-term opponent of a go-it-alone approach. The officials working on the plans, which some officials are referring to as European NATO, are seeking to get more Europeans into the alliance, into the alliance's command and control roles, and supplement U.S. military assets with their own. This is interesting because really what the lesson they should be learning is that this whole world government thing doesn't really work. Nations work. A nation with an army can defend itself. A coalition of nations without an army can't. It's really not that complicated, but they seem to be confused. They seem to be confused at all of this. So it's like they want to recapture the ability to wage wars as if they were nation states, but do it on an international basis. That's the needle they're trying to thread here. That's the tightrope they're trying to walk. How do we draft our people? How do we create massive land armies so we can slaughter them all in gigantic wars against robots? How do we do that while also not giving any credence or validity to nationalism, since that is poison to the wider globalist concept? So NATO, a European Union army, they want to have the ability to project power, the ability to crush dissent, the ability to wage war against enemies they create, but they don't want to have nationalistic instinct be behind all of it, which is contradictory because it's that nationalistic instinct that makes people want to go to war. Nobody in Germany is going to go to war so a Turkish dude can sit on his butt and collect welfare. You go to war to protect your people and your family because the sacrifice of your time and possibly your life is only worth it if it's ultimately to save the things that you love and the country that you were born in. It doesn't work any other way, but they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, I guess you could say. And then you have this. Israel's new spy master is a Netanyahu aide who believed war with Iran would topple the regime. The incoming director of Israel's Mossad spy agency believed a war with Iran could trigger the swift collapse of the regime, according to three Israeli sources familiar with the internal consultations. An assessment of that has failed to materialize after more than 40 days of fighting. I don't think it ever was supposed to materialize, to be honest with you. I don't believe that. I know. Call me crazy for not, you know, intrinsically trusting the head of Mossad. And God forbid that the Israeli spy agency ever let a lie pass their lips. But I have my doubts, folks. I really do. Because their intention was always to create a failed state in Iran. That was always obvious from the beginning. It's what they wanted to do in Syria, and they did it. It's what they did in Libya. It's what they did in Iraq. It's what's been the obvious and really only possible outcome from the Iran war from basically the moment it started, or even before, since just looking at it at a tactical, strategical level, it was easy to understand that the regime could not be replaced, really. They had provisions that precluded that possibility. They had this mosaic operation of decentralized command. It means you can't just chop off the head and put another head on it and have the body function. That doesn't work, and everybody knew that before it happened. Everybody knew the strait would be closed. Everybody knew that Iran had prepared for this moment and would not fall just by toppling their people. And just to make sure that that didn't happen, the people that could have potentially slotted into the leadership positions, the head that could have potentially been grafted onto the Iranian body once the first head was removed, was then killed by Israel, guaranteeing that we wouldn't have an off-ramp. And then they did it again. And then they did it again. They've done it so much, Donald Trump himself has said, we have to keep secret who we're talking with, because if we don't, then they'll be killed. And then you have the Wall Street, or no, it was the Washington Post, the mouthpiece of the deep state, coming out and saying, if the Iranian leadership, if the Iranian negotiators don't agree to our terms, then we'll just kill them. Total terroristic threats. It was always intended, this war, the intention was always to create a failed state in Iran where it could just be an endless cycle of warfare. The weapons manufacturers could constantly have a customer base. You could constantly be sending money to the rebels and whatever puppet regime you put up. And maybe after like a couple decades of just being a senseless playground of murder, maybe eventually they get their feet under them. They actually become a functional state again. And then we can attack them and go to war with them again. This is just the cycle that we've been in forever. I mean, this has been the case since we were arming Osama bin Laden to fight the Soviets. It never ends because we never end it, because they keep getting away with it, because they keep doing the same thing over and over. And then literally the exact same people do it again. It's crazy, but this is just happening and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. It's wild, but here we are. So Roman Goffman, currently serving as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's military secretary, told the Israeli leader in planning discussions that the Iranian regime could be toppled, a view shared by the agency he set to lead and one that proved overly optimistic. That's one way of putting it, overly optimistic. Yeah. No, it was a lie. That's like saying the dealership that sold you a lemon, they were overly optimistic about the car's capabilities. Yeah, kinda. You could say that if you were a liar. Goffman is slated to assume the post in June for a 5-year term, replacing David Barnea, who also believed the war could topple the Islamic Republic. Why are these guys all so wrong? Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy that as the head of the most powerful intelligence agency in the entire world with access to the most exclusive information of anybody existing right now, somehow they were wrong and we were right? Like, how does that happen, you wonder? You gotta wonder how in the hell that could possibly happen. How were they wrong? How were they so bad at their job? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Massachi, yeah, and by the way, they're like, and the mission's not over until the Iranian leadership falls. Don't worry, it'll be a short mission. They'll fall immediately. Oops, they didn't. Well, we're in it for the long haul now, and we can't get out until the impossible mission is done. No, these are our enemies. No, these guys are our enemies. No, they're the ones that got us into this war and that have made us stay in this war and that are blackmailing Donald Trump or whatever they're doing to keep him in a state of just pathetic and utterly embarrassing subservience. They're the bad guys. They're our enemies. They're the ones destroying us and the world systematically. And we need to stand up to them and stop doing their bidding at the very least. And really, if we were smart, we'd have them all in chains. That's where the blackmail comes in, I guess. Trump says China agrees not to send Iran weapons, predicts Xi Jinping will give him a big fat hug. Okay, sure. I don't know, man. It's like, I don't... Yeah, people like to equate Trump with historical figures like Winston Churchill. I don't remember a quote like this from Winston Churchill. We will fight in the hills, we'll fight in the streets, we will give them a big fat hug at the end of it all. Okay, cool. Just very cool. Trump has said that China has agreed not to send warships to Iran amid reports it plans to give Tehran new air defense systems. And he predicted Chinese leader Xi Jinping will give me a big fat hug when they meet next month. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's the case. I don't know. Mark Levin gave you a big fat hug last time we saw it. It looked incredibly uncomfortable. China is very happy that I'm permanently opening the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, so this was 6:46 a.m. today. We got to keep it up to the minute. Maybe we need a little tracker on the bottom of the screen. Is Trump saying the Strait of Hormuz is open? Then next to that, it can be a little sign saying the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So regardless of what Trump is saying at the time, it is still closed, and nothing about his flip-flopping about this has affected it whatsoever. Okay. The situation will never happen again. They've agreed not to send weapons to Iran. President Xi will give me a big fat hug when I get there in a few weeks. We are working together smartly and very well. Doesn't that beat fighting? But remember, we are very good at fighting if we have to, far better than anyone else. President DJT. Yeah, I don't know. I really feel like China is just laughing their butts off right now. They're like, yeah, well, we won't send weapons. Yeah, no problem, Trump. No, we're super scared of you. We're totally not going to send weapons. And we'll give you a big fat hug. That's right, Trump. You got it. You got it. While they just sit back and laugh, knowing that their fertilizer is safe. They get it from coal. They get their urea from coal. They don't need to import it all because they're smart, unlike us and everybody else, apparently. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.